Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
This is Mickey Desai, your current host for the Nonprofit Snapcast. Once again, talking to Sarah Olivieri. This time we're going to talk about budgeting and how the budgeting picture for nonprofits may change as we get deeper into times of pandemic. Sarah, how do we start off that conversation?
Well, this is the time to make sure that you have a budget that you understand, that tells you what's working and what's not working in your organization. And what I find again and again is nonprofits have built their budget to meet some sort of foundation's guidelines or to meet the IRS's guidelines. But first and foremost, your budget really needs to tell you what's going on and what kind of the financial plan is. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. The budget has to be its own sort of strategic document anyway.
Exactly. So it is a strategic document. And as such, one thing I've been encouraging people to do, and I actually have a fully working budget template with formulas that I will give you the link to so we can put it in the show notes, is you need to really make it super clear which expense line items generate revenue of some sort, which line items have a huge impact on delivering your mission, and then which line items are the actual throwing money down the toilet line items like payroll taxes. You got to do it. You know, certainly there's some benefit on the tail end, but doesn't really benefit you. It's not a lever for your nonprofit. So, and what I would tell you, and some of your line items hopefully will both deliver your mission and be revenue generating, is when you, if you're looking at that you've had losses, you need to be in adding to those revenue generating lines, not taking away. And as you start to plan your next budget and you said, wow, we took a hit, we took in a lot less money than we thought we would, that means you need to boost your money generating activities. So if you cut your money generating activities, it will be worse next year. And recently, I'll tell you, because I love so many nonprofits, they just don't have a starting place. Like, how much should we be investing in bringing more money in? How much should we be investing in our ability to fundraise? And I looked at the different numbers, the, you know, kind of statistics people had said about, you know, a good cost to raise a dollar. And I compared them to what for-profit companies who were growing, were investing in marketing, which is their version of investing in fundraising. And what I found was there was a number that emerged that was converging, and it was somewhere between, if you want to have more money next year than you had this year, then you probably need to be spending about 25 to 35% of that money that you want to come in on your revenue generating activities like fundraising. And, I'm very excited to have that number. It's just a starting point, and you need to know what works for your organization. But I think that that percentage is way higher than anybody's really thinking for the most part.
Interesting and good advice. I can't help but think of the extreme side of this equation, which is what happens if a nonprofit just is not able to cope. They can't pivot. They're struggling. It looks like they're looking at failure. What would you say to a floundering nonprofit that is looking at the inevitable and may have to pull the plug? What recourses do they have? Can they partner with others? Do mergers work? What about your experience in these areas?
Yeah, I mean, if it's really bad, I think a merger is a really great idea because you probably have something of value. So I would consider a merger if there's a similar nonprofit or somebody who can take on some of the resources that you have. You might need to strip almost everything away from your nonprofit and rebuild. But mostly what I see those nonprofits who seem like they're going to go down, what they need to do is stop all efforts towards delivering their programming and redirect that capacity to fundraising. And that is so hard for the heart-driven nonprofit people because they're like, what? Don't do my programming.
Right,
right. When you don't have money, you have to layer it. And you hear this in startup businesses. You might hear of her like for start, the big startups are like, oh, we're going for another round of funding. But basically what you need to do is focus on funding. And then when you get the money, deliver some program, show that it's amazing. And then you can probably keep that going a certain bit while you go back to focus on more funding. If you get lopsided, if you start delivering more program than you are doing funding activities for, you are going to sink your ship. Mm-hmm. And so you really, if you don't want to go under, if you're going, oh my God, we're going to go under, and you are just freezing right now, just stop delivering your programs for a moment and just turn everybody and say, hey, we need to stop and fundraise, because if we don't, we're going under completely. And then you will definitely stop delivering your programs permanently.
Yeah. I mean, I think these are harsh lessons. I think these are harsh times, but this is the way to do it if we're going to survive. The other thing I'm thinking, though, is that I had served on the board of a nonprofit that was in the middle of doing that. We were changing everything. And the question actually came up at the board table. It's like, well, how do we actually do the fundraising if we can't tell people what it is that we're providing? And I think that remains a pretty decent question.
Yeah. So I have an answer to that, because a lot of startup nonprofits have come to me with that question. Is you identify, you get really clear about what you're trying to achieve. And you write, it has to be written down. you have to write a plan of that you're going to follow to achieve that. And that plan has to look like it's actually doable. We have a simple way of doing this in the impact method. But once you have that plan, you take that plan to the funder. You're selling the potential. You're selling the opportunity to be involved in having the outcome that you'd like to have. But don't start executing the plan until you have enough funds to do that plan. There is a lesson from the for-profit space that I think is relevant, probably something a lot of people haven't heard, but accountants figured out that basically you can grow a for-profit business up to around $2.5 million. But then if you want to grow more, you have to basically get to like $7 million, because around $5 million, there is this like dark hole, there's a dip. And it's because there's like just economies of scale at play. Being at a $5 million business is super expensive, actually, and you don't want to be there. So if you want to grow to from 2.5 to 7, you have to save up a ton of cash. It's just like you've done recently. You had to go out and stockpile groceries so that you could make it to the mm-hmm. other side of the pandemic. So if you want to, you know, regrow, you've got to make that plan and then stockpile the money till you have enough to make the trek of getting your program going in a sustainable way. Don't start spending that money until you have enough.
Right. Right. Amazing. Now I know I need to save up $7 million for the nonprofit snapshot.
There you go. And, you know, I was just thinking about this the other day, because before you've taken action, you're selling potential. And that's great, because you don't have to have the proof. You can sell a phase one where you're going to say, we need the money to prove that this works. And people are into that. Once you start, you might find it doesn't work. But I can tell you, if you start with too little money, probably even a great idea is not going to work that well, because it wasn't adequately funded, and then you're going to be screwed.
Right. Exactly. No, good words, good advice in general. I appreciate that you're sharing that with us, and can't thank you enough for taking the time to do yet another episode with me again. I hope we can revisit again sometime in the future and do more of these conversations. I think these are great.
Absolutely. I would love that.
Sarah, thank you. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast.
It's my pleasure.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. I can always look for your feedback via our webpage. That's nonprofitsnapcast.org. And you can find us on Facebook as well. That's just search for Nonprofit Snapcast there. We should float to the top. Thank you as always for joining us. And we'll see you with another episode in a few days. Thank you.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.